Good evening. Welcome to the Solari Report. Today is December 10th, 2015. I'm Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. Well, January 4th, we've scheduled the launch date for our website upgrade. You'll be hearing more about it, but just keep a note of that because we're going to bring it up on a Monday, and we hope it'll be operating smoothly, but it's going to take some transition and change over time. So January 4th, we think it'll be quiet that day, but we think you'll be really pleased with the improvements. So you'll be hearing more about it as we come into the launch date. I'll be out in Marin County on January 16th, 17th for the Architects of the New Paradigm. You can find it at our events calendar. And then January 27th, 2016, I'm going to be at the Economic Roundtable of the Ohio Valley, and don't forget April 30th in New York City with Richard Dolan on False Flags. Our theme tonight is slow burn plus deflation equals rising shriekometer. The slow burn is squeezing harder. Deflation is really catching hold. It's not good. And the shriekometer turned on last year. You heard me during the election just be amazed at the Ebola shriekometer, but have to admit that it won the Senate for the Republicans. It worked, and now they're back with Trump and the terrorist shriekometer. It was so bad, I finally wrote an opinion piece, my opinion on Donald Trump, which you can find. You have to make sure you're logged in. If you want some examples, it really helps to look at the historical examples when this machinery turns on. It's basically telecoms plus media plus intelligence agencies running out the fear spin. There's a wonderful documentary we had on Let's Go to the Movies called Sputnik Mania, where they tried to turn loose the shriekometer on Eisenhower, and he didn't fall for it. It was amazing. Amazing ability to stand up to the military-industrial establishment because he'd been such a successful general. Another great one is Shut Up and Sing, the story about what happened to the Dixie Chicks. The shriekometer really turned and tried to chew them alive as a result of their poo-pooing the Iraq invasion. Eisenhower said in the midst of his Sputnik mania problem, "We will bankrupt ourselves in the vain search for absolute security." Because of that, that, of course, is what the shriekometer does is it plays on people's fears and insecurity. And of course, people are getting a lot more insecure, particularly financially these days. Trump rolled out a whole series of Hitler-like proposals, one after another: waterboarding and torture, warrantless searches, the end of religious freedoms in the United States, not permitting Muslims to come into the country, on and on and on. It was very, very Hitler-like. Along with the San Bernardino shootings, it helped to drown out the increased number of reports that ISIS oil is going to Israel and the CIA was instrumental in shooting down the Russian plane. And clearly, you have major military-industrial complex vested interests wanting increased and widening war in the Middle East, and it won't do them any good if people notice reports of the ISIS oil going to Israel and the CIA being instrumental in shooting down the Russian plane. So I think that probably had something to do with really turning the shriekometer on. I have to assume that in the last few days, 1.6 billion Muslims woke up thinking about how they're going to shift their money and operations as far away from the American financial institution as companies as possible. If, you know, to the extent the Muslims didn't do it, I think there are a lot of investors who may not be Muslim but took the clear message that America is no longer under adult supervision. And clearly the problem is not Trump. It's the people who support him in the polls or the people who he fronts for as puppet. The idea that Donald Trump is an independent candidate who can do what he wants is completely ridiculous. There was a Wall Street Journal NBC News poll that said, "Do you favor or oppose Donald Trump's proposal to bar Muslims from entering the U.S.?" According to this poll, which of course I don't trust, 25% of all Americans agreed with that statement, of which 11% of Democrats agreed, 42% of Republicans agreed, 30% of independents agreed, or not so much agreed, but favored. Again, can we believe the polls? No, but there are clearly people who support Trump, and it's hard. Here's the reality. If you're going to declare war on 23% of the global population, I don't care how much you suck up to women, It's going to be very hard to maintain a strong economy. Force is not enough. Now, I'm sure this will all be good for Israel's economy, which I suspect is one of the hands that tightly manages Mr. Trump's leash. But let's face it, to do something like this, you need the media and the telecoms who are operating on behalf of the pro-centralization team, engineering all of it. And of course, that means the intelligence agencies are either engineering it as well or supporting it, which argues that the CIA did have a hand in shooting down the Russian plane. And it also argues that the money being laundered through Mr. Trump's casinos and real estate deals was behind the protection of national security. So how can this happen? We've had decades of lies, lies after lies after lies. It's one of the reasons I so love Richard Dolan's new book, UFOs for the 21st Century Mind, because he really dives into the extent and the layers of lies. And you know, we've reached a point where literally the people who now run things, you know, have no, you know, they've become prisoners of their own lies. They've forgotten what reality is. And of course, you have major media, you know, using all kinds of tricks, including, as you know, I believe in entrainment and subliminal programming, and you have false flag events. And the reality is, false flag events work for both the leadership and the average American. Everybody wants a boogeyman. Nobody wants to face reality. So you have this very sick dynamic between the crowd and the leadership, all agreeing that they have to have a boogeyman, and of course that helps the military industrial establishment push for war. Now let's look at what's the real pain that's making this or helping this go, and that's deflation. New report this week, farm income is expected to be down 38% this year. Ouch. Ouch. That really cuts into, you know, you're talking about having to finance big deficits. Oil and gas, again, badly down for the year. That means the heartland, which is the Republican traditional territory, is in real pain. And of course, we have the latest announcement. It's up on the site. The middle class no longer is the majority in this country. So the reality is, over the last 20 years, the Republicans have consistently promoted centralization in a manner that has devastated their constituencies. And the constituents know it. You know, they know that these guys have completely sold them down the river. So have the Democrats, but you know, they think of themselves as being represented by the Republicans. So the last thing the Republicans want to do is confess and turn around. Rather, they're just going to throw more boogeymans. The Feds are raising interest rates probably next week, and I'll talk about that in a second. Money in markets, that's going to contribute to the deflation because the easy money was sort of keeping liquidity going. And so, with farm income way down, oil and gas way down, and the interest rate game over, or falling interest rate over, and the QE over, you're talking about real accountability. The global Muslim population is now larger than Christians and growing faster. I've talked about it before, and why I think the response is the Inquisition. That's what the Christianity usually does when they're being out politicked. In the US, the Islams keep growing, and if they keep growing as much as they are, they'll replace Judaism as the number two religion, which I also think is a part of the Sharia meter. At first, I had said I thought Trump was going to white out the other Republicans for Bush. Now it's looking more and more like he's whiting out all the Republicans for Clinton. The heartland support, if it remains strong, and I don't know that that it will clearly throw the election to Clinton. It's very interesting. During all the Hitler proposals, Trump, one of the funniest was promoting turning control of the internet over to Bill Gates. Bill Gates was going to figure out how we could close down the internet for Muslims. And at the same day, Clinton was announcing a big fundraiser with Warren Buffett in Omaha. So, you know, here's the reality. Every time you turn around, everyone's leash seems to run back to Omaha or 66,000 square foot house outside of Seattle. So, you know, the reality is the emperor has no clothes, and the idea that we have an entire society being controlled and run by people like Buffett and Gates is frightening. But decades of lies require new lies, and more new lies ultimately can drive a society insane. You know, whether it's the guys at the top or the guys at the bottom. And that's why I keep saying that transparency about the black budget is so critical to deal with both our cultural problems and financial problems. I'm a great believer that the solution to popular insecurity is the creation of wealth. but wealth comes from freedom from open markets and a reasonable movement of people across borders. The way to deal with terrorism is to identify who's really doing it rather than attacking boogeymen and smearing the innocent and holding the innocent accountable for what a small group of people are doing. But that for that, you need leaders who have values, not this endless parade of people who are completely valueless and are building a police state with our tax dollars using terrorism as an excuse. We'll talk more about it in the wrap-up about terrorism as a cover story. Okay, money and markets. Our theme for the annual wrap-up this year is space-based economy, same topic as my speech at the Secret Space Program 2015. And I've been looking for some really great reads for you to help get your mind around space. And there's a very good one on the, certainly on the official space programs and issues, that's very good background. It's called Crowded Orbits, Conflict and Cooperation in Space. And I put a review of it up on the website. Take a look at that. And if you're interested, I think it's very good background. And it gets into, a lot of the issues about the crowding in the orbital platform, as well as the possibilities of weaponry and what that could do to the various issues of how we cooperate and compete in space. I would imagine if whatever the story is on UFOs, it makes it that much more complex. Anyway, so take a look at it if you're interested. Crowded Orbits, very well written, a good introduction on the unclassified part of it. I also wrote a commentary for the Money and Markets, where we put up the charts every Sunday night, about the decision by the Federal Reserve next week on interest rates. I said on Coast to Coast on Friday night that there was an 80% chance that Yellen would raise 25 basis points. I'd indicated earlier that I thought it was going to be 50 to 60% chance of a 12.5 to 25 basis point increase. Now, I definitely think there's a higher chance. Yellen has essentially said she's going to do it unless they get a surprise between now and then. And of course, everything could happen. If you look at the markets as of Friday, the market had adjusted. We saw the short end up 15 basis points for the year and 40 basis points on the long end. Tiny amounts, but when you're operating at these low interest rates, it's still a significant increase. As I've said many times, I don't see how the financial system can survive if you continue to wipe out savers, pension funds, and insurance companies by giving a free ride to basically zombie governments and zombie financial institutions. I think the families have been devastated by low interest rates. And frankly, if you look at the last 30 years, what we've seen is the engineering of a dramatically subsidized cost of capital to large institutions. So, the U.S. government essentially borrowing for 0%, while if you look at everyone sort of at the grassroots level, we're paying way above market for our capital. So there's an extraordinary divergence in cost of capital, and it's really re-engineered through the federal government, and it's the leading cause of inequality. Let me just quote you several things from that commentary. I quoted Alan Grayson. I love this quote from Grayson. Trillions of dollars were extended by the Federal Reserve to the banks in the form of corporate welfare. What they did is they took our money, the U.S. dollar, the fact they control the currency, the fact they control the money supply, and for the first time in history, the 100-year history of the Federal Reserve, they played favorites. They said, well, we will give $100 billion to this institution and another $100 billion to this institution and so on down the line. When you and I could not even come close to accessing that kind of money on these terms, they lent out this money at 0.01% interest. Go try to get a loan like that from your bank. So one of the things I wrote in the commentary was, the current engineering of an artificial cost of capital spread is destroying our society. If Goldman Sachs can borrow at 0.01% and your child has to borrow to get an education at 6 to 12% or higher with fines and servicing games, then your child is going to either work for Goldman Sachs or live in poverty with you, as your savings will be earning 0.01% while your expenses are rising as a result of printing free money into Goldman Sachs. Anyway, so one of the goals clearly of the Shriekometer is to basically white out that conversation because it's coming to a head. Okay, let's look at the markets. The S&P almost flat for the year, down 0.32%, so less than a third of 1%. Gold now down almost 10%, silver down almost 11%. Ugh, oil down 48%, and that's on top of what it was down last year. DAX now up 8% for the year, but if you look at what's happening with the euro, if you translate it to U.S., it's not looking as good. China large caps down 14.7%. The small caps, the large caps tend to include the state-owned companies, small caps down 5%. Developed world down 2.5%. Emerging markets down 17%. The aggregate bond aggregate index now down 1.5%. TLT, the long treasury, 20-year plus treasury, is back up. It's now only down 7.5% for the year. And junk down 11%. Ugh. Junk market is going to be in trouble this year. It's going to show its first loss in many years. The commodities index down 23%. U.S. dollar index is up 8%. That's U.S. dollar hit a high of 100 and then is now traded back down to, well, traded into 97 range, but it's now back at 98.06. In Paris, we're watching the governments of the world try to come to an agreement on climate change. There's still a lot of serious pushback on the science happening, despite all the Paris lockdown from the terrorist event, which I assume is not unconnected to the fact that the climate change conference was coming there. We also see a major push by Obama and Hillary Clinton for gun control. We can only presume that Mr. Gates and Mr. Buffett have insisted. But they seem to be making quite a big hoopla about it. And meantime, around the country, you have more and more sheriffs telling people they need to start to carry guns because the sheriffs can no longer protect them. You know, the environment is out of control. What's interesting is if you look at gun ownership since 2008, it's gone up steadily, and violent crime has gone down and murders have gone down. So, in fact, if you look at the statistics, we're all much safer. but, you know, apparently everybody thinks we're not safe, so we'll see what happens. I think the reality is, again, you know, not to beat the same drum, which I keep beating, but we have more and more top-down control causing the slow burn, causing deflation, and necessitating more false flag terrorism to keep the world safe for top-down control. And the more the average person supports more top-down control, the worse everything's going to be and the more insecure they're going to be, which means we're going to get more screaming for more top-down control. And as long as we support it, we're going to get it, and it's going to make everything worse. It's one of those things for, you know, holding on for dear life makes things worse. You need to let go. Anyway, so here's my pitch for freedom and free markets. It's the only way out of this. Okay, a couple of things I wanted to point out on the website to beat my drum on TV. There's a great post that Daily Coast picked up from Salon. I'm terrified of my new TV. Why I'm so scared to turn this thing on, and you'd be too. Some guy got a new, one of those big screen new TVs, digital TVs, and sat down and read the terms and conditions and freaked out and talked about something that I think about. He said, "Why, you know, why can't I be with it in high tech without, you know, sort of giving up completely my privacy? And, you know, the only other alternative I have is to live in a very low-tech environment." And I know how he feels because I can't, you know, I have the oldest refrigerator and the oldest stove and all sorts of old things. I certainly have no TV. I have an old monitor for my to watch my DVDs. But basically, you know, I've come to understand that the only way I can be free is to have, you know, really old stuff. And so that's what I do. But once in a while, I get this urge to buy a new slick something. And of course, I realize, no, I can't do that. The other thing from the New York Daily News, average American watches 5 hours of TV per day. No wonder they like Donald Trump. Ugh, my mind would be mush if I tried to watch 5 hours of TV a day. Our hero this week is one of the great heroes of the pro-decentralization team. Wonderful, inspiring John Trudell died this week at the age of 69 of cancer. He first came to fame as a spokesperson for the American Indian Movement. But what he was a musician and a poet, a very prolific poet. If you go to his website at johntrudell.com, you can buy all of his things. I love, as I drive around the country, to listen to his explanations and sort of lectures on what's really going on. And what's amazing is, if you listen to him, he comes exactly to the same place I do about the tapeworm and the slow burn, but he's coming at it solely through spiritual and cultural pathways, whereas I'm coming from a financial pathway, and yet we arrive at the same exact place. He's a remarkable man, remarkable insights. I've had the opportunity to meet and talk with him, and my way of dealing with John Trudell was to go to his website, buy all his stuff, and laugh my head off as I listened. If you want to get inspired by what great authentic leadership is, here it is. It's very inspiring. Anyway, John Trudell, God bless you. You go with our prayers and all of our best wishes. Ask Catherine. A lot of you have been sending in some great links, and a lot of them have made their way into Top Picks. Somebody sent an article by Goldman Sachs said that the Fed was going to raise interest rates basically every quarter all next year. I think that post is important just because of all the firms that are deep inside of the Fed and sort of famed for effective Fed watching. Goldman Sachs is certainly one of them. There's an advantage to being a rigor instead of just an observer. It wouldn't surprise me if the Fed is certainly intending to do that. Lots of posts on gun controls. Again, a lot of them got into Top Picks. You can see them. Somebody asks, Catherine, do you make specific investment recommendations? If so, where do I find them? Under the law, it's not something I can do if I'm an investment advisor, but also doing media. It's, my lawyer is very clear. I cannot give specific investment recommendations. And now, having worked as an investment advisor, I certainly see the merits in that. I've seen so much harm done by recommendations coming to people without being specific to their unique needs. It's very, very important. Each person is different. Different situations are different. What I do try and do in the quarterly equity overview and the wrap-ups, as well as some of the other things we do, is post the fundamentals and the charts that will help inform your overall allocations, as well as inform sectors that are sort of shrinking and sectors that are growing. So I think that 80% of investment performance comes from getting your allocations right. And I hope that that's really good input and support to people who are trying to figure out their investment strategy. Hi, Catherine. Can you discuss what the timeline is for Agenda 21 moving people out of the rural areas and into the cities? I would say, I don't know what the timeline is, but it is well underway. If you look, there is a beatdown going on in rural America. A lot of it is rules and regulations. For example, suddenly they're massive new training requirements for fire departments, police departments, all sorts of different departments. It's really making it very, very difficult to get staffing. It makes things more expensive. And I think it's just designed to strip out the infrastructure. One of the things you see happening is the drop in real estate values has accelerated dramatically after the build-out of cell towers and smartphones, and I think that's probably very directly connected. You see, and have for 20 years an effort to convert populations to dependency on federal checks, particularly food stamp programs. So you use safety rules to shut down their small farms and make it impossible for small farmers to be economic in the local market. Then you get everybody on food stamps and truck all the food in from South America through Walmart. It's a pretty ugly game because there's no reason why a lot of those small farms couldn't be economic. And of course, if you had that kind of fresh food, people would be much healthier and you wouldn't have a fortune spent on healthcare. We've gone through a process where literally county by county, we're building out these huge criminal justice centers. And what you're discovering is, using the illegal drugs and all sorts of enforcement, you're basically liquidating a portion of the population through the criminal justice centers. The other portion of the population, you're kind of liquidating through hospitals and healthcare. You're getting everybody on the sort of the pharmaceutical treadmill. A lot of people get on disability because they can't find a job. obviously you've had dreadful food since the mid-90s. And literally, between the criminal justice centers and the hospitals, it really looks like the population is sort of being liquidated through them in a friendly fascism kind of way. What's remarkable is the successful people who are kind of thriving no matter what have many different qualities in common. Let me just describe what they are. First of all, they have spiritual practice. So their response to a valueless world is to be part of a world that's steeped in values, and to celebrate and enjoy those values. They have a spiritual practice. So I'm in Tennessee, so here it's predominantly Christian, but it doesn't have to be. If you go over to the farm, which is an intentional community in mid-Tennessee, it's a spiritual community. And it's remarkable the things they're doing in their practice in terms of missionary and outreach and helping people. It's quite remarkable. So one, they have a spiritual practice, and it's really part of a value-based existence. Two, they have very high learning speeds. They're constantly learning how to do for themselves, constantly developing and growing practical skills, constantly networking with people who have other skills and bartering skills. Third, they avoid the media. They avoid the smartphone entrapment trap. They eat fresh food. They maintain good habits. Your habits are your destiny in this environment. They live modestly and save. They maintain strong families. Strong families are absolutely critical. They're the ultimate risk management tool. They have an attitude of gratitude, and they avoid government programs and money. Franklin and his family is a perfect example. He says all government money comes with a sock in the jaw, and he's exactly right. So, there are cultures, and that's why if you look at the Mennonites or the Amish, there are cultures that seem to survive no matter what, but they find a way of building a value-based world that's very economically productive, and it takes very strong habits. And that's why I've always said the most effective weapon to destroy a population is to get them into bad habits. Anyway, so you said you were looking forward to our report. Well, that's great. I hope you enjoyed the one we did. That was last week. Dear Catherine, I read your article about the Senate passing Senate Bill 1203, which mandates that veterans have to get all of their adult vaccinations or risk losing their veterans' health care benefits. Can you foresee a time when all adults will be required to get all the recommended vaccinations in order to be covered by their own health insurance? Yes, I think that is coming. This is a matter of chipping away, one step at a time. It's one of the reasons I hope to maintain Samaritan Ministries, regardless of the availability of health care insurance. As of December 1st, 2015, I have health insurance for the first real time since 1998. I think the day is coming when I'm going to need Samaritan Ministries regardless, because I whether the insurance system or the government, I trust them not at all. You mentioned that the reengineering of the U.S. federal budget will be a shocking experience for many people. In what areas of the budget do you believe the biggest changes will be made? This is a major and complex conversation. If you haven't read Coming Clean Over the Fiscal Cliff, please do so. It's kind of my tour de force on the federal budget, and it's sort of the beginning of a basic understanding of the federal budget. One thing you can do, you absolutely should get that portion of the federal budget you can for your neighborhood, the consolidated annual financial reports. But read Coming Clean Over the Fiscal Cliff, and I'll think about doing a Salieri report on federal budget reengineering, because it's a very interesting but complex conversation. I came home several years ago having gotten a lot of questions about the federal budget and thought, okay, I'm going to answer this question once. I'm going to sit down and write the tour de force and explain to people why this is such a challenging thing to do. People who deal with a budget in their family or business say, well, what can be so hard about sitting down and reengineering the federal budget? Well, you need to get a load of this, because you're talking about the reinvention of everything, is if you really did it properly. Anyway, so take a look at Coming Clean Over the Fiscal Cliff. It was my effort to lay the groundwork of understanding what's going on. Ask Catherine for weekly show. I'm curious about the final addendum and the TPP regarding housing. Wow, that's a doozy. I posted it on the website. Check it out. Looks like we're going to use the TPP to explode global mortgage fraud. Anyway, it's if you take a look at it, you'll see it. And thank you very much for that tip. That was great. Someone wrote in about problems they're having with multiple loans into HUD with their name. So it's a combination of mortgage fraud and identity theft. And I've asked our customer service to email you directly a direct response. So make sure you get that if it goes into your junk mail. Contact customer service because we will send it to you. And we're getting more and more reports around the country of people's homes being sold without their knowledge or permission. So fraudulent sales, all sorts of fraudulent foreclosures and financings on your home, you know, sort of a combination of identity theft and mortgage and title fraud. And, of course, it takes a lot of time and money to ultimately prove it's your house and get it back or deal with the situation, but we're seeing it all over. I just got hit for about the fourth time this year with credit card fraud again. And we're very snappy. We check the credit cards every day and have to because I just think the credit card fraud is off the charges. Another question about gold money. Several times I've addressed gold money in the last year. I've said I've withdrawn my recommendation of gold money. They had a change in ownership and the people that I really look to run a very tight custodian operation are now have pulled some or all of their money out and are no longer in control of the operation. So I've withdrawn my recommendation. And you can, I wrote a commentary for subscribers as well on the blog. You can find it on the blog if you're interested. But if you have funds in gold money, I think what you need to know is the strong custodian leadership is no longer there. Okay, let's go to the movies. I wanted to review Captain America, the Winter Soldier, not to talk so much about the movie itself. It's a second in a series on Captain America, the Marvel comic character. And in it, it has a fictional espionage agency called SHIELD, and SHIELD has been infiltrated by HYDRA, and HYDRA is a criminal organization dedicated to the achievement of world domination through terrorist and subversive activities on various fronts, resulting in a fascist New World Order. And it's initially grew out of a German leader's recovered hoard of Nazi plunder and funds established by the original leaders of a Japanese secret society. Sound familiar to any discussions we've been having with Dr. Farrell? Anyway, what is happening is SHIELD has a Project Insight going. It's going to put three Hela carriers. It's basically, you know, the equivalent of an aircraft carrier up in the sky, linked to spy satellites designed to preemptively eliminate threats. But in reality, if you look at the top officials in SHIELD who are running it, they're really working for HYDRA. And as soon as these space weapons go live, HYDRA will control. And the reason I wanted to bring it to your attention is I think the big question, one of the big questions in space is who's got what space weapons and what does that have to do with the U.S. dollar still being reserve currency and the U.S. government getting away with just unbelievable behavior all around the world. I haven't watched it yet, but I'm going to see the new James Bond movie, 24th in the series, Spectre, standing for Special Executive for Counterintelligence, Terrorism, Revenge, and Extortion. Spectre is a commercial enterprise. It's basically global organized crime. It first turned up in Thunderball and has been intermittently back, oftentimes involved in space. Believe it or not. And this time it's M, who runs the intelligence agency back in Britain, is now in a power struggle with C, who's now the head of a privately backed joint intelligence service consisting of the recently merged MI5 and MI6. And C is trying to get Britain to join Nine Eyes, which is a global surveillance and intelligence cooperation initiative. The belief is that these you know, that Nine Eyes is compromised by Spectre. Anyway, so I'll see that. But if you look at what both of these movies are saying, basically they're pointing to the role of satellite systems and space weaponry as a critical part of the geopolitical competition going on planet Earth. And I think that's not an accident. So it underscores one of the things we're going to be talking about in the space-based economy. Okay, our interview, I wanted to get Clifford Carnot come back because the Paris Climate Change conference is going on. And I have to tell you, talking about climate change, when you don't talk about global spraying or the nuclear testing that has happened in the outer atmosphere and has blown holes in the outer atmosphere, until you integrate those two things into the conversation, it's all complete yaya. You know, I can't take it seriously. That's why when people, you know, send me Naomi Klein's book, I have to tell you, they're the most intellectually bankrupt things I've ever read. It just, you know, you just want to, you know, there's an expression in the South. I just wanted to smack her because it is so intellectually bankrupt to look at the global ecosystem on a piecemeal basis and to make policy on a piecemeal basis when you're pretending that the most important things going on don't even exist. It's just outrageous. Anyway, so I wanted to get Clifford back on, and we did several years ago a special with Clifford, which is a Solari Report archive classic. In detail, Clifford goes through every possible hypothesis of what the global spraying could entail. Normally, when you do something this big and this expensive, there's a multivariate equation. So it's really a classic piece, and I strongly recommend you read that transcript before watching the interview. In fact, the transcript was made for us by one of the subscribers who said, "This is so important, I have to make a transcript of this." It was before we were automatically making them for you. Anyway, and it was a great act of love on his part. He's a very important, busy professor. But he did, and we posted it. Anyway, take a look, and it really does do a remarkable job of walking through of all the possibilities. When we talked with Clifford this time, one of the things he said is, you know, none of that analysis has changed. It's the same seven hypotheses. Nothing new has come up to do anything else but affirm that position, which is very interesting. The other thing he said, he's been working a lot on the details of what is in the spraying and how that relates to Morgellons disease, which is a disease that comes from the particles that we ingest in the spraying. If you're interested, you might also want to go back and listen to my interview with Dr. Gwen Scott about the 10 steps you can take to protect your body and your health from spraying. But the spraying is clearly one of the reasons it's so important to build your immune system and to detox, 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 because this stuff has heavy metals in it. We're all ingesting heavy metals. Anyway, so this is an update with Clifford, but again, I strongly recommend you go back and look at that original transcript. Anyway, if you'll notice our Christmas card this year, you can click on the, it's a PDF up on the left on the Solari.com, and if you click and go through, you can see all of our donations. Five are to the different churches that have inspired our prayers, and the other five are leaders in really protecting health and food freedom, and Carnicom Institute, which Clifford runs, is one of them. Remarkable organization that does just remarkable things with very little money, as do the others. So I recommend that list of donations for your Christmas consideration. Okay, well, it's very meaty today, so a lot to talk about, a lot going on. In closing, we're putting up a special that we did. More and more people are writing concerned about what's going on at university and colleges. So we have students and professors writing in and say, what in the world is going on? They're in the middle of sort of World War Z. The zombies have come into the university. So I called up John Rappaport. He's been writing some great pieces on this whole topic. And I said, John, we've got to help these people understand, you know, what's happening to them, because they're really the target of covert operations. The beatdown is on at U.S. University. So I wrote a special commentary and then did an interview with John yesterday, and we're going to post that as a special tomorrow. So And also, I'm giving permission to all subscribers, if you have professors or students at universities who are completely befuddled by what's going on, if you think it would help, you have my permission to share that with them. Our goal is to help them. Then December 17th, next week, we have a great Solari report. It's a panel with Junius Ricardo Stanton and Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney, former Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney. Junius is going to be republishing on his site, on his show, publicly, so we'll do this one publicly as well. It's on Home and Square, someone prototyping the domestic rendition. Fascinating conversation, and then Cynthia and I get into a conversation about what Cynthia is going to do about it, and you will be fascinated. Okay, then December 24th and 31st, we always do our Best of the Archives coming into the wrap-up. On December 24th, it's the Best of the Archives, Geopolitics in 2015. We had some great discussions, so it's really rich. And then to help you with the wrap-ups, December 31st, reviewing the major themes of 2015, the wrap-ups. And if you haven't read all the wrap-ups from 2015, I strongly recommend it. In fact, you can literally not watch the news, you know, for an entire year, read the wrap-ups, and you will have a better understanding of what's going on. Okay, so until next week with our panel with Junius and Cynthia, please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, then you need to start one. Ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck.